When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
John, first off, welcome to SDH on the live side. Welcome to the madness, sir.
Yeah, really excited to be here. Thank you guys for having us on to talk some USL.
All right. And so now, Kaler. Kaler's had his cup of coffee, so here's Kaler. Kaler's ready to go. So, Jarrett, yep. I will give you the first question since you're leaving and then coming back, I guess. So stay as long as you want to stay. And then
We're just going to see how long we can make this last. We're just going to see how many chainsaws we can juggle at once.
It's a fatal four-way.
Until I lose a finger, that's kind of what we're doing here. Okay, first of all... Please explain to those who are uninitiated the concept of Birmingham as a we start bad, we end bad, but everything in the middle is going to be the most beautiful thing you might have ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much Birmingham. Every single year they look awful. Their offense doesn't click. They refuse to score goals. And then roughly around June, when it's 100 degrees outside, they decide this is a wonderful time to score goals now. We want to press because we live to have a heat stroke. And then roughly around September, where it starts to cool off, they're like, it's no longer hot. We could care less. We're going to back our way into the playoffs. And the fans are left confused because for a while we were the best team in the USL. And then in the season, we're just perfectly meh. It's incredible. For five straight years, this is how it's been. And you know what? At least it's expected.
Well, so then, John, what's it like for you to sit there and be a part of this chaos? Because for those that don't know, I'm going to go ahead and say, obviously, you know, at the USL show, at Kaler Hodges and at USL Tactics are must follows when it keeps everybody needs to keep their eye on stuff. But what John does. And John is probably the personification of half-pass crazy, so I guess he is the personification of the USL Championship. He will break things down tactically and show you why things work the way that they do. How many hours a week, John, do you break film down to sit there and post clips on the Bird app? How much homework are you doing here?
I mean, pretty much every Saturday is a complete wash in terms of trying to get as much done live as I can, and then revisiting things throughout the week. I shudder to think about how little sleep I get to get it all done.
That's the fun part of this. Jarrett, go for it.
Yeah, and because I have to thank you for the USL, because I think it was last year, the tactics page, I think you put it on like a Google Doc. And because I kept that bookmarked when we were doing Tuesday games all the time, just to get an idea of, between doing this show, between doing like lower division soccer, between covering high school and a normal job and raising a child, I was running out of time to keep up with everything. So, I mean, it for those of y'all who haven't found it before, you can go check it out. I think it's on Twitter is where I found it. But if you want like a really good view of the entirety of USL, like, and tactics change, like philosophies might change over time. Guys move in, guys move out. But I do have to thank you for that. What you put together last year, because it was a great introduction to some of the teams that we don't see a lot. Like, we were used to Atlanta, seeing Birmingham, seeing Tampa, seeing Loudoun United, seeing Memphis, that. But getting that from, like, the West Coast teams or the occasional visit from Tulsa, which was always just an acid trip of a game, I can't thank you enough for that, because it was – I'm sure you worked an insane amount on it, but it was awesome to be able to absorb it all.
Yeah, I mean, just giving that – 1,000-foot view of what every team is loosely going to be looking like. I think it's something that I find to be important. I think we do a good job of it week in and week out at the USL show. just trying to give a voice to teams that you wouldn't otherwise know about. So,
all right, so let's get into this season. Kayla, let me start with you. And obviously, since I'm going to ask you the question first, John gets longer to prepare his answer. As we've hit the first month of the season, first four match days or so, biggest surprise and biggest disappointment, regardless of conference?
The biggest surprise could also be your biggest disappointment. And that is, I think it's Abby, I think, and Chad kind of mentioned the Rowdies themselves. Yeah. The Rowdies on paper have the, this is before injuries and stuff like that happen, but if you just look at the roster and you just look at names on paper, which you can't always do, they have potential to be the best team in USL history. I fully believe that, but they have started off with 2 points out of three matches, and it's looked bad at times. And you know, just some things that happen around the USL aren't, it's after being around it for a while, you are no longer shocked by some of the things that happen. I think if you're new to the league, the Memphis situation may seem like a shocker, but being around for a while, it's just kind of Memphis and the USL doing USL things. I think if you're looking for another shocker, I'm surprised. I am incredibly shocked at how quickly this Charleston team has come together. They are mostly a team built by kind of backups, and Ben Pierman is arguably the best coach in the USL, but I didn't even think that he could put together a band of misfits this quickly, and putting it together around some of the most exciting youth prospects, you know, around, it's incredible how fast it's been put together.
Okay, so follow-up question, what is going on? Obviously, Memphis right now, Kaylor, bottom of the table, yeah. Oh, their first two, giving up a lot of goals, have no offense. We know that Philip Goodrum is not happy about his place, but Philip, I think, needs to talk to his agent, perhaps, or not sign contracts. For those that don't know, background on what's going on with Memphis 901 right now.
So for people who don't know the rest of the 901 situation, so Ben Pierman left, who is arguably, again, the best coach in the USL. He left Memphis to go to Charleston for what many consider to be a quote-unquote lateral move.
Yep.
But, you know, from behind-scenes conversations, that that entire relationship between Memphis and Pierman was so shattered that it could never be reconciled. And whether it's for his own wallet or whether it's because he wanted more money to sign players, you know, that's, you have to talk to them yourselves. But so they bring in Stephen Glass, who it, you know, obviously Atlanta United 2 fans know really well, but Aberdeen fans know him as very different. And he has seemed to bring his Aberdeen self over to Memphis. The back line is injured beyond repair until, you know, Buckmaster or Less Than Paul gets back, and they're playing strikers at right back or at left back. They're, it's just, it's awful, and it's kind of just culminated into Goodrum saying on TV that he is devastated to be back in Memphis and after not being allowed to leave. And their new goalkeeper that they brought in, whose name is escaping me, to
say,
yeah, thank you. It gets released that he is allowed to leave for free to any MLS or European club that he wants, and they don't have to pay a fee, even though Goodrum was not allowed to leave because the fee wasn't high enough. So it's just a lot of backroom chaos happening in Memphis that has led from a team finishing in second and being a shock of the league last year to looking like they could be wooden spoon winners.
Jared Smith for John Morrissey.
Yeah, because this is, and I think John had mentioned it last week, that you're waiting. You're just, if you're Memphis, you're just put Reese Buckmaster in a hyperbaric chamber or something. Just get him back on the field. Do what you can to piece this back together, because I am a Scottish League sicko. I watch a lot of Scotland. It's not healthy. I don't recommend it. I've done this for years, so I had plenty of experience with what Stephen Glass was doing at Aberdeen. And I was interested to see how it would transfer over, because so many of those teams in Scotland like to sit back and counter or just straight up bunker, and it's like Livingston era terror ball. Like we're like that halfway line might as well be a river. But the best games he had at Aberdeen were playing against Celtic and Rangers, teams that came out and wanted to play on the front foot, and they were able to possess the ball and then counter press Celtic and Rangers into really good games, but really struggled with teams that wanted to sit back. And I'm interested to see, and I'm interested to see how it develops for them playing in USL this year, as he is, to your y'all's point. Like, you know, it sounds like it's trying to just piece things together and just trying to limp this thing across the line so you can build it back up.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the problem with Glass, who I think he led Aberdeen to their worst finish in more than a decade, he just hasn't looked like he's really had a tactical identity in his years in the USL. Part of that being Atlanta United 2 was such a development job for him, where, yes, he was trying to instill some of the principles that you would want for the senior side, but a lot of it was almost babysitting. He hasn't, well, Memphis, when they had Pierman, were so defined by a very possession-based system. They counter-pressed you hard. They played short from the back. And he sort of abandoned that and got rid of that beautiful play over the winter break, despite the fact that Memphis kept about 9/10 of their core together. I don't want to lambast the guy after two games. We've talked about Buckmaster and Paul and the fact that they started the year with a goalie with two professional appearances to his name. But I'm just worried about underlying system. He's not doing what Pierman did to make this team so good.
Well, then let me posit this, John, to the discussion. Traditionally, when you and Kaler look at teams in USL Championship, how long do you give a new coach before you sit there and go, okay, this is who they are, with, you know, injuries and tactics and adjustments and things like that, before you're satisfied with who a coach is with their identity with a club? Is it the quarter pole? Is it halfway through a season? When it comes to looking at teams that are in this new boat, Memphis 901 with Stephen Glass and a new head coach, how long traditionally do you, in situations like this with a new head coach, even with all the personnel that's there, how long do you sit there and analyze things before you come up with any kind of a final judgment as to, okay, this is who they are?
Yeah, with someone like a Glass, where I've been able to look back at the video and the data for what he did with Atlanta, I have a little bit of an opinion of him coming in. I think you can make that determination a little bit quicker, and especially given how much continuity there is with this Memphis team. This team came out, finished third place in the conference last year. They should be good, and they should look at least competent, even with the injuries so far. So it's a red flag immediately, but I think I still give him a third of the year, let's say, to really get in the mix a little bit. If you think about, say, Blair Gavin in Tulsa, who hasn't had a head coaching job before, he also has a completely overhauled roster. I'm going to be a little bit more forgiving. I'm probably going to give him 3/4 of the year before I really start to form an opinion on whether he's the guy or not. I do think that it's interesting. USL Championship teams are pretty remiss to get rid of coaches within the season and really within a year or two. So there's a safety net built in for these guys. But I do think you're right in that you have to give them some time to let things stew a bit.
Kaler, who else is giving you early red flags?
From teams that we expected to not be as good, I think everything's kind of status quo. But it's something that we kind of stumbled into just briefly on the show, USL show we did on Tuesday.
Excellent.
And it's nicely. Yeah, good. Throw it in there. San Antonio, despite some injuries, are not looking great. They are, according to our good friend Ryan Allen, according to Elo, they were the greatest team ever in USL Championship history, according to math. And I'm not going to argue with math. I'm an idiot. So, like, they're a really good team that brought back essentially everyone, and they are really, really looking not good. They're bringing in guys on 25-day contracts because they're just trying to get enough of a roster because of injuries. the way that they're playing still looks like San Antonio. It still looks like it, but it's just not playing right. And you can say, well, once injuries get back and they do what they do, they'll be fine. But if you look at, you know, Jordan Farr, who is quickly becoming league MVP, and if he even keeps on anywhere close to the trajectory he's on, probably going to win it. If you're relying on your goalkeeper to play out of his mind for the entire 34-game season, it's going to be a long season. It's hard for me to see them sustain it.
Jarrett, go for it.
It's literally what Charlotte was doing for part of the year last year in MLS with Christian Kalina. We're just going to have Christian Kalina play above his head for two-thirds of the year and just see what happens. I guess to shift gears into, like, a happier tone. Also, John, I don't know if you just saw this. This is totally unrelated. Rush Probst has a job again in Pell City.
I saw your tweet from Ben Thomas. Well, the thing is, yeah, it's like he had the job as associate head coach at Coosa Christian, which was about a half hour from his house, and now he's got the gig at Pell.
Sure, why not?
So yeah, sorry,
it's never going away.
High school football down here. All right, go for it.
I guess to elaborate on, like, you know, big positive surprises. You know, you talked about Charleston because it felt like last year felt like Charleston was your get right game. That was your, we need to play Savannah State because we're willing to pay $70,000 for a win and we need a 70-point win. Hell, man, the two teams are getting up against Charleston and like taking scalps off them. What is it about? And I know you talked about with Pyramid about the possession style, about his possession, about his ability to counter press. After what happened last year with just a really sloppy press that they had, how is it that he was able to change it so quickly there?
I think part of the deal was he was precise in the players that he chose to add, the players that he wanted to really build this team around, despite the fact that they were something of a garbage fire for a lot of last year. The Battery had a couple of pieces that were really good. I mean, Augustin Williams made the all-league team at striker. They had some good players in the midfield, particularly Fidel Barajas, who's an up-and-coming Mexican youth international. And, I mean, he's starting games at 16 years old and looking like an all-leaguer already.
He's a stud.
But, yeah, he's an absolute stud. But I think I would point to specifically the fullback spots really as the example here where Pierman made it a priority to get Declan Wynn from Detroit, who led all fullbacks in assists last season in the USL. And then he brought over Derek Dodson, who's a converted forward, but he did that in Memphis and brought him with. Both of them are obviously great attackers. They know how to overlap. They know how to get involved, but they're very engaged in the press. They'll sit at the halfway line, choose their spots when to close on opponents. This Charleston team is so good at limiting chances on the counterattack, keeping the ball out of those dangerous areas. Of all teams that have played more than a single game, they've got the best expected goal margin of anybody. They're just playing really good soccer at both ends. And, I mean, it's another feather in the cap of Pierman and the argument that he's probably the best coach in the USL right now.
Yeah.
All right, so it's at Kaylor Hodges, at USL Tactics, and as we know, 80s alt, Morrissey hanging out with us, and Kaylor Hodges at the USL show, hanging out with us here for another 10 minutes here on SDH on a Thursday. Guys, for the record, I don't know if I've told you this, but you're stuck with us. I'm going to propose that for the last Thursday of every month during the USL season that you guys drop by and we do this as a once a month free for all. You're stuck with us.
Yeah, sure. I got no life. I have no life, sure.
All right,
hey, so you too, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so when it comes to Kaylor, let me ask you this. I know that a lot of folks here in Atlanta with their time with Atlanta United 2 and USL Championship are gravitated toward Birmingham and teams like that are close by. Give me a team, either Eastern or Western Conference, or you can give me one of each, that even though it might not be biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, who is a team worth watching just because of the chaos factor so far this season, or someone that you're anticipating is going to be incredibly chaotic for the casual person to drop in and watch?
Oh man. if you're just looking for chaos and it's always going to just fall into chaos, anytime that Rio Grande Valley plays at home, just bet on that. Edinburgh is the biggest pitch in the world. It is built, it is just miles and miles of grass. Every team looks like they're down a man. And RGV, I think every single year since joining the league has led the league in cards. But they love to rack up yellow and reds. It's just what they do. And they force teams to join along because they're so angry. they're a team that just is the definition of chaos for me. Out of the East, it all seems pretty standard. Yeah. And John may completely disagree with me, but this is something that we always kind of say on the show, is that the West is a simulation. It doesn't exist. And so if you're looking for just pure chaos, it always seems to come out of the West. Your El Pasos, your Las Vegases, your, you know, San Diego Loyal always seem to be up for at least a couple of just pure chaos games where you're just scratching your head and wondering what's going on. Honestly, tune into pretty much any Western Conference game and you're just going to just be thoroughly entertained and really confused the entire time.
Exactly. One of the comments in the Twitch pitch, John, they want to know how Jackson Conway, how do you think Jackson Conway will do with Phoenix Rising now that Atlanta United has loaned him out to Rising this year? How do you think Jackson's going to do?
I'm very high on Conway's game. I know he had interest from a couple of playoff teams midway through last year, but they couldn't quite pull it off with Atlanta. So now, yeah, loan it with option to buy to Phoenix. Rising went into the season with just one striker on the roster, so he is going to get plenty of time to play. Obviously, Atlanta fans would know he's a good finisher, good head on his shoulders in terms of movement. They're going to be playing a very up and down, high tempo style. He's going to be expected to do a lot in terms of that hold up play, getting into the good positions on the end of those counter attacks. I think the sky is the limit for him there, honestly. He's going to be given ample chances. And just based on what I've seen with Atlanta United too, he can more than do it at this level.
Jarrett, go for it. What's on your mind?
No, that's where I was going to go, was asking about Conway and asking about what he's done.
I've stolen your question.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
As far as like those teams, some of these teams that we saw take the league and really kind of take it by the collar last year, it was a team like Detroit that came out and really hit the ground running. You know, what's kind of your expectation for teams in a year two? Once you get over that initial, hey, they've shocked the league a bit. They didn't necessarily win a title in year one, but they came out, they took a couple scalps, they had a good time. Like, once you kind of settled into year two with these teams as they try and build identities, what's your expectation for these teams? Like, for a team like Detroit, for example, who now they kind of know how it's all going to work, and, you know, their teams are kind of be ready for them.
Yeah, it's an interesting study in contrast, sorry to cut you off there, Kaylor, between, I mean, the two expansion teams last year with Detroit and Monterey Bay. Monterey Bay gave more than a dozen two-year extensions across their roster. They kept everybody. They really only made one addition to the starting lineup, and that was Alex Dixon, who's a perennial 15-goal scorer from Pittsburgh. Yep. So they were really leaning into the continuity, thinking, we had the right structure. We just needed that one forward to really cap it off. Whereas Detroit lost arguably three of their four or five best players. When you think about Declan Wynn, who we talked about earlier, Antoine Hopeno leaving. And the players they brought in to replace those guys were fringe USL players, guys from NISA that they were familiar with from those days. Detroit's looked not miserable out of the gates, but certainly really lacking that offensive punch. They benefit from the fact that they're very much a defense-first team that doesn't need to score goals in buckets, and Trevor James is as active as any manager in terms of those mid-game changes to really go and grab a match by the scruff of its neck. So Detroit almost felt like they didn't really invest to keep up in year two, in my estimation, whereas you saw the continuity argument for Monterey, who's sitting in fourth in the West right now, probably paying off in a better way.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to pretty much spot on what I was going to say there. I mean, with Detroit is that if you look at their roster, look at who they brought in, look at the potential of who they brought in, including some signings that have happened in the last day or two, I think they have largely stayed the same from where they were last year. And that got them into the playoffs, and it very well could get them in the playoffs this year. But I think we have also seen that pretty much every other team in the East take a step forward. And, you know, when you stay the same while everybody else is coming up, you end up going down just by the virtue of how that all works, right? So, but when you look at the West, this is a Monterey Bay team that I really believe in. I have been probably way too high on them. But when you look at Gleadle, if you look at Alex Dixon, those are certified guys who will score. And not to mention, they have probably the best center back pairing in the USL. When you have a good forward attack, when you have a solid defense in the back, that's usually a good recipe. And that's something that Detroit City kind of lost, was a certified, you know, goal scoring threat. They have guys like Ben Morris, who spent a lot of time in England, could be a guy for them, but we haven't seen him do it yet. And it's not fair because he's been injured, ACLs and all that kind of stuff. So the potential is there, but and I've said this before, for every 10 guys that you bring in from outside the USL and you bring outside that sphere, for every 10 guys that you bring in, usually only 1 to 2 work out. And so you're just left with 8 punts that just did nothing. And you can't rely on your team to be built off of punts.
All right. So, Kaylor, let me ask you the last question so John can cut the promo. Rich Ransom, who is our resident Philadelphia Union fan, and make sure that everyone else who is a fan of another team in the Eastern Conference knows that he's a Philadelphia Union fan, wants to know about expansion and what the latest is with expansion coming into, and we'll take it as deep as you guys know, when it comes to Championship, League One, and League Two. What's the latest on expansion and adding teams to any of the USL umbrella?
Okay, so Rhode Island is coming in next year, which if you've been around the game for a while and you know of kind of older, I guess, New England Revolution and recent Legion assistant coach, Conno Smith is going to be their first ever head coach. And I don't even know where you found that, to be honest.
I know that their store is open and they can't keep the stuff in. Michael Parkhurst joins us every other Friday. Mentoring, and as a part of the ownership group, Cap was like, yep, store is open. And you literally cannot keep things in the store when it comes to Rhode Island FC.
I promise you cannot find an obscure team or dead logo that no longer exists that John does not have an item from.
That's fair.
Or that he has sent me, because I have hanging in my closet still a New Orleans Riverboat Gamblers shirt, and I am begging them to bring the old logo back.
Well, and Jarrett, to your point, this is the most recent purchase that has been brought in. Almirante Brown, baby.
It looks like an AHA music video.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
Almirante Brown from our friends at Classic Football Shirts, one of the great generals in Argentine naval history. Almirante Brown.
What was the Nashville one, John? Was it the Nashville Diamond?
Yes. Yes.
And it was basically like an early 90s caricature drawing of a guy standing with a top hat and cowboy boots standing on a football. It was absolutely
love it.
Yes.
I need all this back. Yes, I'm begging New Orleans' team to be the Riverboat Gamblers. Bring back that logo. I'm begging you.
Yep. One year at Hale Stadium in 1982. For the Nashville Diamonds, and they finished 7th in the ASL. They did not make the playoffs, and there you go. So, sorry, continue.
So, Conno Smith is going to be their first ever GM and head coach, you know, joining Parkhurst and that group. If you look into League One, it's where you're going to be seeing the most growth. You know, they're looking at bringing back Wilmington, which is just making League One just the Southeast. And the League One is also, there's been a lot of rumors of Northwest Arkansas that has been a heavy push, just trying to get a little bit more. West Santa Barbara is going to be coming in with League One. There's other, like Portland, I think, is being pushed. Not Portland, Oregon, but the other one. they are being rumored and whatnot. League 2 is, and W League is where I see the most interesting growth, because there's a lot of teams that are fleeting and trying to get away from UPSL and NPSL as fast as they can, and they're all joining the USL umbrella. We've talked to a lot of ownership groups, a lot of coaches and GMs from League 2 and W League, and they just talk about how much of an improvement the USL system is over NPSL and UPSL. So I think you're going to be seeing a lot of those NPSL legend teams, a lot of those, Central Jersey. That's another team that Ira really wants to get League One in there. He is heavily pushing for that in W League and Super League. Jacksonville is coming into the league as well, New Orleans. But League Two is going to be the biggest hotbed, I think, because there's going to be a lot of those teams that you're used to seeing in the UPSLs and NPSLs that are going to be heading for the big umbrella that is the USL.
And I know that we are in added time, and I'm holding up the banner without any minutes because I don't know how much more time. But John, you're doing something really interesting. You are on your blog site, and you can promote that too. You're doing what must watch games there are, and you alerted Duke Keith on the Bird app that his game was the one to watch, and Duke was like, ah. So what's the game to watch? Is it Birmingham and Tampa? Is it Birmingham and Tampa? Is that the one that you guys are promoting this week because of Birmingham and Tampa? Where can folks check out your perusals of games of the week? And obviously we'll promote the USL show after that. But where can they look at your analysis on a weekly basis?
Yeah, I mean, just follow at USL Tactics. I tweet everything I do way too often. writing at Backheeled, if you're familiar with that, Joe Lowry spearheading the effort there, covering all things end of USL, MLS, etc. I'll throw a quick shout to Kaylor with the hammering down stuff for Birmingham Legion fans.
Yeah.
And really, if you care about the USL and your team is playing against Birmingham or is going to be playing against Birmingham, he's bringing in spectacular guests every single week. So that's must-listen stuff. And then together, hey, the USL show. Every Tuesday, we're live in your podcast feed. We've got the kit season show, which is fun this time of year to talk about the uniforms that everyone's debuting. And we'll have some interesting, fun announcements, partnerships to get out there in the next couple weeks. So be on the lookout for that.
All right. So, gentlemen, it's great to have you on for your premiere performance here on SDH on the last Thursday of the month. All the way through USL season, I'm calling it right now. You are hereby requested to return in the 10 o'clock hour, the USL show. You guys can fight amongst yourselves as to who you want to have as a part of the Fatal Four Way or the Battle Royal or whatever you guys want to do. Kaylor, it's great to see you, my friend. John, it's fantastic to see you guys as well. And thanks for letting us know about what's going on in USL Championship. And Birmingham v. Tampa, that one's going to be fun. And also pay attention to what's going on with Duke Keith and our friends out in El Paso. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We'll catch up with you in a month's time, the last Thursday of next month, to find out what's going on in the U.S. Championship.
Thanks, guys.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.